We'll begin our worship service with the daily devotions for individuals and families, beginning on page 139 in the Book of Common Prayer. Together, let us read in unison the Phoshileron. O gracious light, pure brightness of the ever-living Father in heaven, O Jesus Christ, holy and blessed, now as we come to the setting of the sun and our eyes behold the vesper light, we sing your praises, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are worthy at all times to be praised by happy voices, O Son of God, O Giver of life, and to be glorified through all the worlds. Donna.
A reading from Philippians 3. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved.
I'm going to ask Donna to read that passage again. Here's what I would like for each of us to think about. As she's reading the passage, think about one word that's in the passage, and I would like for each of us to just share one word or a phrase in the reading that speaks to us. Donna, would you please read again? Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you, even with tears. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved.
Thank you. So, what word or phrase spoke to you in the Philippians passage? Observe.
Stand strong.
Stand strong.
Humiliation.
Humiliation.
Citizenship.
Citizenship.
Serve.
Serve.
Transform.
Transform.
Conform.
Conform.
And your citizenship in heaven.
Citizenship in heaven.
Destruction.
Destruction. And I heard something.
Joy.
Joy.
Stand firm.
Stand firm.
Humiliation.
Humiliation. For me, it was with tears. Together let us say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus, stay with us, for evening is at hand and the day is past. Be our companion in the way. Kindle our hearts and awaken hope, that we may know you as you are revealed in Scripture and the breaking of bread. Grant this for the sake of your love. Amen. Thank you. So this concludes our daily devotion. We will gather back in the Guild Hall, the larger room adjacent to where we had dinner, and we'll begin our discussion.
All right. Let's behave.
So with our remaining time, what I'd like to do is something sort of what we did last week. I'd like us to break into two groups. I have three questions pulled from the book. We have about 30 minutes. What I would like to do is to have just one group discuss, so there are three questions, or three statements rather. One group discuss one, and another group discuss two, and together we'll discuss three. And I have handouts that I'll pass out. So, and it doesn't really require you to have read the book, so I pulled some statements from Fleming's book that I think are apropos not only for the Lenten experience or for the book itself, but also in the world in which we currently live, and in particular in the country in which we live. The first question, so group one, and what we'll do, we can stay in the room here, and we'll just, one group just go, just we'll push some chairs over this way, and another group can just stay right here. The first question, or statement rather, that I would like, and then afterwards, report back out. So spend a few minutes. Someone should record, if you can, the thoughts or the opinions or the general conversation to share with the larger group. The first question is, religious people want visionary experiences and spiritual uplift. Secular people want proofs, arguments, demonstrations, philosophy, science. The striking fact is that neither one of these groups wants to hear about the cross. The cross is not a suitable object of devotion for religious people, and the claims made for it are too extreme to be acceptable to secular people. It is the paradox of present-day American culture to be both religious and irreligious. So that's group one. Group two will discuss the challenge for American Christians is a dual one. First, how in the midst of a feel-good culture do we grapple responsibly with the biblical assessment of fallen human nature? The second challenge is to help Christians understand that even secular justice should be and can be administered out of a deep sense of solidarity among all human beings, so that we never cease to remember that there but for the grace of God go I. I have to admit that in reading, when I read the book a while back, this, the second statement, the one that I just read, I disagreed with Fleming's comments on that because, and I'll say some more when the group who's presenting on this speaks to it, but I will say that part I struggled with because, in essence, what she is saying is that if we are able to see each other as equal human beings, then we should not have any problem with severe severe justice, right? That are harsh justice. That the reason that we have a problem with it is because we don't see each other equally. And I guess what she's saying is if we saw each other through the same lens, then somehow whatever justice comes to one who has offended, then we could all be in agreement that it is right and is just. And I'm not sure. I'm sure I disagree with her on that. That's fine. So, and the third question that we'll the statement that we'll have an opportunity to gather if time permits, is to deal with her. She has a statement that says, apocalypsis in Greek means revelation or disclosure. The irreligious and unimaginable humiliation and crucifixion of the Son of God is therefore an apocalyptic event. Indeed, it is the apocalyptic event. And as such, it could have only been inaugurated by God. Huh. All right?
Okay.
So what we'll do is we'll start with Bill, and Bill is one, and then we'll just make our way 1-2, 1-2. Actually, you know, I think we got enough for three groups.
Cool.
That way, we can all each group can deal with one. So we'll start with Bill, and then we'll each go 1-3.
Okay. 1, 2.
2.
It's
2. 1. You're 2. 3.
Yeah.
Oh, 1.
2. Okay, so
3.
3.
Group 1 over there, group 2
and then
in the middle.
1.
Group 3 over
there.
2.
3.
2.
Let's behave.
So with our remaining time, what I'd like to do is something sort of what we did last week. I'd like us to break into two groups. I have three questions pulled from the book. We have about 30 minutes. What I would like to do is to have just one group discuss, so there are three questions, or three statements rather. One group discuss one, and another group discuss two, and together we'll discuss three. And I have handouts that I'll pass out. So. And it doesn't really require you to have read the book. So I pulled some statements from Fleming's book that I think are apropos not only for the Lenten experience or for the book itself, but also in the world in which we currently live, and in particular the country in which we live. The first question, so group one, and what we'll do, we can stay in the room here, and we'll just, one group just go, just we'll push some chairs over this way, and another group can just stay right here. The first question, or statement rather, that I would like, and then afterwards, report back out. So spend a few minutes. Someone should record, if you can, the thoughts or the opinions or the general conversation to share with the larger group. The first question is, religious people want visionary experiences and spiritual uplift. Secular people want proofs, arguments, demonstrations, philosophy, science. The striking fact is that neither one of these groups wants to hear about the cross. The cross is not a suitable object of devotion for religious people, and the claims made for it are too extreme to be acceptable to secular people. It is the paradox of present-day American culture to be both religious and irreligious. So that's group one. Group two will discuss the challenge for American Christians is a dual one. First, how in the midst of a feel-good culture do we grapple responsibly with the biblical assessment of fallen human nature? The second challenge is to help Christians understand that even secular justice should be and can be administered out of a deep sense of solidarity among all human beings, so that we never cease to remember that there but for the grace of God go I. I have to admit that in reading, when I read the book a while back, this, the second statement, the one that I just read, I disagreed with Fleming's comments on that because, and I'll say some more when the group who's presenting on this speaks to it. But I will say that part I struggled with because, in essence, what she is saying is that if we are able to see each other as equal human beings, then we should not have any problem with severe or, she says severe justice, right? That are harsh justice. That the reason that we have a problem with it is because we don't see each other equally. And I guess what she's saying is if we saw each other through the same lens, then somehow whatever justice comes to one who has offended, then we could all be in agreement that it is right and is just. And I'm not sure. I'm not. I know I'm sure I disagree with her. That's funny. So, and the third question that we'll, the statement that we'll have an opportunity to together, if time permits, is to deal with her. She has a statement that says, apocalypsis in Greek means revelation or disclosure. The irreligious and unimaginable humiliation and crucifixion of the Son of God is therefore an apocalyptic event. Indeed, it is the apocalyptic event. And as such, it could have only been inaugurated by God. All right. So what we'll do is we'll start with Bill, and Bill is one, and then we'll just make our way 1-2, 1-2. Actually, you know, I think we got enough for three groups.
Cool.
That way, we can all each group can deal with one. So we'll start with Bill, and then we'll each go 1-3.
Okay. 1, 2.
3, 4.
No.
No.
Two.
One.
No.
Oh, two.
On your two. Three.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Three.
Group one over there, group two
and then
in the middle.
One,
group three.
Two.
Three.
Two.
I'm sorry to we were having a lively discussion, so much so that I realized we were coming to an end. What I'd like to do is to have just one person or two or three folks from each group to just come and just sort of just give us just a brief summary of what you thought, what you shared, what your observations were. Not everyone rush.
Make it.
All right, y'all, so we'll have
All right, so group one, I can kind of go, I'll go through the statement kind of sentence by sentence and talk about maybe how we responded. First sentence, religious people want visionary experiences and spiritual uplift. Secular people want proofs, arguments, demonstrations, philosophy, and science. And we didn't wholly think that as a true statement, at least to us as religious people. We talked about religion or faith being something very personal. Father Smith brought up how people are sort of might create religion, but I think religion is something we talked about, being something more than just the personal, faith being more personal. As religious people, we ask ourselves if we seek visionary experiences. We talked about, a visionary experience might not be the sky opening up, but it could be something as small as a small gesture, a smile on the street, something like that is where you can encounter Christ. And then we talked about, Jesus being a philosopher and demonstrating faith, so it's not necessarily the secular that divide. So there's some contradictions we saw there. It says neither one of these groups wants to hear about the cross. The cross is not a suitable object for devotion for religious people, and the claims made are too extreme to be acceptable to secular people. We talk not the cross necessarily as an object, but everything that goes into it. Christ dying and being reborn, and why that happened. I think that is too much for secular people. And then we talked about sort of other symbols. If not the cross, what would it be? What do we choose to look at? And we talked about the idea of a shepherd and sheep, and that sort of symbol is very popular in Christianity as well. We might look to that because it's less, less painful. And then we talk about the paradox of present-day American culture, to be religious and irreligious. We talk, about, it's very hard for the religious, the truly religious, to function in American society. But at the same time, there's people who call themselves religious who might be living kind of against Christ's teaching. And then, you know, whenever it's an election year, we always hear about the evangelical vote and how religion comes all of a sudden to the forefront. And there's a lot of talk about that in American politics.
Wow, excellent. Thank you.
Right, so we spent our time dealing with grappling with the two questions in part two. So, which is the challenge for American Christians. Reverend Rutledge sets up first of it being the feel-good culture. Do we grapple responsibly with the biblicalist assessment of fallen human nature? And for that, we spoke about on a couple levels. First off, the difficulty on an individual level of realizing, if you accept feel-good culture, the difficulty of recognizing we're fallen, we're sinful, and that somehow that doesn't jive well with the hey, everything goes positivism. And I think we talked about some of the more difficult ones, also realizing in other people, people either do bad things, they're imperfect too. And the challenges that we have of both on a personal level as a society with apologies. And we went through a couple examples in politics, the Kavanaugh hearings, the yearbooks in Virginia of how do you, of what is the standard? And is it something that we're prepared to, are we prepared to accept that people fail and get second chances? We talked about the difficulty of just apologizing now, that it's something that the fake apologies that are more common than the sincere ones. And then we transitioned on to the second challenge that Reverend Rutledge sets up, which is the secular justice should be and can be administered out of a deep sense of solidarity among all human beings, that we can never cease to remember that there but for the grace of God go I. And for this one we struggled with. And part of it, we talked about in some respects, that the justice standards, you want it to be as objective as possible, of having a system that rules based that are applied equally, and that we talked about there's some things we do well for justice, having systems that recognize, hey, minors aren't fully formed. You don't want someone to be sentenced to life in prison at a young age. And then also things like in California, the recent moratorium on the death penalty, realizing that that there are institutional failings in systems that particularly with respect to poor people, minorities that are shown. And one of the things we got to at the end is just saying, where does religion come into this though? You can have a justice system. You can have a very religious justice system, a fine one. And so that was one I'm not sure we sort of ultimately came up to an answer on. But we then came back, Francis, just we bring it back to the crucifix and started talking through what that shows. And so we talked a little bit about Pilate, talked a little bit about Jesus forgiving the thieves on either side. And so yeah, that was one question we were left with, just how where does religion fall into that one?
Thank you.
I am not an eloquent speaker as my husband in group one, but so it'll make for an interesting dinner conversation. So I will read as well and then break apart. Apocalypse in Greek means revelation or disclosure. The irreligious and unimaginable humiliation and crucifixion of the Son of God is therefore an apocalyptic event. Indeed, it is the apocalyptic event. As such, it can only have been inaugurated by God. And when we started our conversation, I think we initially focused on the end of that couple of sentences, sort of initially ruffling at the thought that God could put forth something that was so horrible, such a horrible event as the crucifixion, because we all happen to know God as a caring, and we like to think of him as a benevolent God. But as we sort of discussed and really took out the drama of such hysterical words almost as apocalyptic and humiliation and unimaginable, the root, which she speaks in the first sentence, of the actual Greek word is revelation. And so when you look at that word, we came to the, or discussed that what God is sort of revealing to us through a very awful event is that it's really, if you're quiet with it for a moment, that it's a beautiful, and perhaps for him, a very difficult sacrifice to have his son go through a very long process of dying in such a gruesome way. So we discussed that and really what is God revealing to us in those quiet moments versus the drama that the whole crucifixion is. And also that we did also bring it to sort of the 21st century as well, where, you know, if you speak to Jesus as a martyr and Martin Luther King, you know, movements such as Catholicism, you know, the martyr or the leader had died, but some of those movements in the past had sort of fizzled. This, the leader, the martyr, died, and the movement was so strong that it was able to transcend and go through time. So hopefully it got
excellent.
Yep,
excellent. Thank you. Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Yes. So thank you all so much. Before we close out, I want to ask Father Bill to give us the final blessing, benediction. Remember that next week we are at St. Charles.
Right.
Same bat time, same bat channel. And please continue to tell your friends that we're having this wonderful discussion, that even if they hadn't been to the first two, they're still welcome to join us at any time. So thank you all for coming out this evening. Father, please.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son.